Radio Daily for not Monday and not a short week. This week we're here for the duration. That's just how that goes. So welcome to the 27th of November as we click these down. You do have your December Advent calendar, right? Because you should almost be done with that. Hi, by the way. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of crazy places like that. The folks who are bringing it to you today, well, the man that had an interesting weekend, that there's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
We pull this one off today, we have made history.
So did you make history? I haven't studied history in a long time. Hey, I know what I'm doing with life. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
If I win, you could be my secretary or something.
Sweet.
Or something. What happened on this fine, fantastic day, sir?
I made history by killing more Wolverines than anybody else. Use my nunchucks and a shotgun. In 1779, the College of Pennsylvania becomes the University of Pennsylvania and the first legally recognized university in America.
1789, Thanksgiving is first celebrated in the United States after Congress requested that President George Washington proclaim a day of public Thanksgiving and prayer and a day to eat that damn Ben Franklin bird.
1834, Thomas Davenport invents the first commercially successful electric motor, which he used with great ingenuity to power a number of established inventions. He would receive a U.S. patent on February 25th, 1837, so look forward to hearing about that here in just a few months.
Woo! 1895, Alfred Nobel signs his last will and testament at the Swedish-Norwegian Club in Paris, setting aside his estate for the purpose of establishing the Nobel Prize after his death.
Did he get one posthumously?
I'm gonna say yes.
Oh, he certainly deserves one. Check history.
Dynamite makes pieces.
1920, United Artists releases the silent film and Batman's favorite movie, The Mark of Zorro, starring Douglas Fairbanks. The film will go on to be extremely influential in the world of comics and Batman himself. And I believe we actually have a clip of that movie.
The pointy end goes in the other man.
It's a silent film, Flynn.
I read the title card. 1951, the first rocket to intercept an airplane is fired from the White Sands missile range.
1963, the Centaur 11, I know it's the second, becomes the first flight of space vehicle fueled by a combination of liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen.
1971, the Soviet Union's Mars 2 lander releases a descent module. It malfunctions and crashes, but in doing so becomes the first man-made object to land, of sorts, on the surface of Mars.
1987, Nintendo releases The Legend of Zelda for the Nintendo Entertainment System in Europe.
Octoroks! 1998, Sega launches the Dreamcast video game console in Japan. Just 2 years soon. Too soon! Oh.
2001, a hydrogen atmosphere is discovered on the extrasolar planet OSIRIS, HD209458b, by the Hubble Space Telescope. It is the first atmosphere ever detected on an extrasolar planet.
2007, Google Maps introduces Terrain View, a mode that shows basic topographic map features. The system's hybrid view is replaced with a show labels option for the satellite view, because who needs that anymore?
2009, Ashley Towns, the 21-year-old hacker responsible for writing and releasing the first iPhone worm, iKey, reports being hired by Australian iPhone app developer MoGeneration, which claims to be Australia's leading iPhone development company.
Just talking about MoGeneration. 2010, a Swedish appeals court upholds the copyright convictions of three of the four founders of the Pirate Bay? I don't know how you say it. Fredrik Nage, Peter Soon, Carl Lundstrom. However, the court did revise the ruling to decrease the defendant's jail sentences and increase the amount they must pay in damages for whatever they did on their website that I've never heard of. Birthdays?
Allison Pill, 32 years old, from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Newsroom, Snowpiercer, Hail Caesar, and American Horror Story Cult.
Jaleel White's 41 from Family Matters, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dreamgirls, Mega Shark vs. Crocosaurus, one of the Sharknados, two maybe.
Also in the most recent season of Trial and Error, I believe. Charlotte Copley, 43 years old, he came to prominence in District 9, also appeared in Hardcore Henry, which is a trippy movie, Maleficent, and, of course, was the perfect casting as Howling Mad Murdoch on the A-Team.
Kirk Acevedo is 46 from Oz, Fringe, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, 12 Monkeys, and currently is still the big bad on Arrow somehow.
I love that dude's voice, and he is one of the first villains in a while, besides Damien Dark, that has actually been threatening. I love it. Michael Vartan, 49 years old, from 1 Hour Photo, Alias, Hawthorne, and Bates Motel.
Robin Givens is 53 from Head of the Class, that dodgy relationship with Mike Tyson, and Riverdale.
Fisher Stevens, 54 years old, from Super Mario Brothers, Hackers, Early Edition, Grand Budapest Hotel, a fantastic television show called Key West that starred Jennifer Tilly, first landed in my sights, and Denise Crosby, and of course, played the problematic character in Short Circuit.
Steve Odekirk is 56 from Kung Pao, Enter the Fist, and those damn talking thumb stupid things.
Oh, hell yeah. Thumb Wars, God Thumb. Love those. I got a bunch of those on
love
DVD,
Kung Pao, weirdly enough.
Samantha Bond, 56 years old, from Sarah Jane Adventures, Downton Abbey, and I thought she was a fantastic Miss Moneypenny in the Brosnan Bond era. Indeed. One of the best things to come out of that.
Most definitely. William Fichtner is 61 from Strange Days, Equilibrium, Ultraviolet, Lone Ranger, I imagine the new one, and the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Curtis Armstrong, 64 years old, from Revenge of the Nerds, One Crazy Summer, Moonlighting, American Dad, was Booger in Revenge of the Nerds, was also one of the hosts of King of the Nerds, and of course was on the Handsome Brothers Ghostbusting Power Hour known as Supernatural. Fantastic run of episodes with him.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1894, Kansuke Matsushita, Japanese businessman who founded Panasonic, and not Mitsubishi, which almost sounds like his name.
No, no kidding. Did you know Mitsubishi stands for Three Diamonds?
No!
Yeah. That's why their logo is three diamonds. Trivia players? Eh? That'll be a question eventually. 1917, Buffalo Bob Smith. He was the co-host of the Howdy Doody Show and inspiration for the character from A Thousand Corpses. No, no, it's not.
1928, Josh Kirby, who was the original artist for Discworld.
1940, Bruce Lee. He was Kato in Green Hornet and the martial artist. Defeated Chuck Norris merely by using Chuck Norris's chest hair.
Yeah, but got beat up by Burt Ward. 1945, James Avery, Shredder in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, Uncle Phil in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and War Machine in the Iron Man cartoon.
We miss him. And I almost guarantee you half of those shows and movies are on TV tonight. On CBS, we've got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on a new FBI and NCIS. We're good.
Sure. ABC, it's a new The Conners, because still not technically canceled. The Kids Are All Right. Black is splitting up together. And Nathan Fillion is the rookie.
NBC has a new The Voice. This Is Us in New Amsterdam.
Ooh. On Fox, there's a new episode of The Gifted, but then Stifler hopes to meet with Natalie in order to talk about their relationship, but he's interrupted by an encounter with a new assistant district attorney on a new Lethal Weapon that sounds like it's trying to be a different show.
Yeah, boy, if I had a nickel for every time that happened. CW Barry sets out on a mission with the help of Team Flash to stop a powerful new meta called Weather Witch from killing her own father on a new The Flash and, ooh, Black Lightning.
On AMC, it's Santa Claus D, showing that you sometimes shouldn't go back to the well.
Bravo, Ashton enjoys his time with the locals on a night out, and Riley and Adrian have a talk on a new Below Deck.
FX has Furious 7, but there's 12 main characters, so I don't understand.
It's not the Ocean's movies. They don't. FXX's Simpsons Marathon, Love is a Many Strangled Thing, Real Housewives of Fat Tony, and 500 Keys.
On FXM, Let's Be Cops!
Ugh. IFC has Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. I still have to see that.
I guess you didn't like Let's Be Cops. BBC America, Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
I thought, wasn't it Saw Monsters? Is it past or present? I don't. Paramount Network, Who's Got the Power? On a new Ink Masters.
TBS, Tonight You Become a Man on a new episode of The Guest Book.
Well, we also have on Sundance, Crocodile Dundee and Crocodile Dundee 2.
Ooh, but on the Lifetime Movie Network, disillusioned by the obvious differences between reality and the cheery holiday movie she produces, a pessimistic TV manager tries to take her anger out on a snow globe, only to find herself transported to a much happier Christmas time. Alicia Witt, Trevor Donovan, and Donald Faison star in A Snow Globe Christmas.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
Ben and Sierra kiss and only bump teeth twice. Leo demands that Sonny own up to that proposal because all marriages work when forced by a technicality. Kayla accuses Stefan of letting Steve take the fall for him. And he's like, look, Stefan had plenty of espionage on his own. What with his bionic eye? Nah, 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 nah. Ted Lauren returns asking Hope for protection. And she hasn't laughed that hard since different area codes. Hashtag Chabby forever.
You got mail, baby.
Indeed we do. And this one might seem odd.
China's going to be putting up three moons that are basically giant mirrors. Come on, man. I've seen Real Genius. I know how this works out. Get your popcorn ready, kids. Back to you, Flynn.
Oh, stop masturbating, won't you? If you've got something you'd like to tell us, could you drop a note, please, to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can always send a voicemail, provided your hands are clean, by dialing the magic number of...
510-GRD-CROW.
I don't know who that was, but he had a sexy voice.
To destiny comes a new podcast. Three guardians who will guide you to glory, honor, and... Yeah, nah, not that kind of podcast. This is Happy Hour from the Tower. I'm T.
I'm Nick.
I'm Brandon.
And we're going to talk about all things Destiny. Why we play.
Why we love punching aliens in the face.
And why my dad sucks at the Crucible.
Here we go.
A podcast for players of all levels. Find Happy Hour from the Tower on iTunes, Stitcher, or at happyhourfromthetower.com. Eyes up, Guardian. Time to give up the ghost. It's Happy Hour from the Tower. First round's on us.
Hey, you're geeking out on Geek Radio Daily with Nicole DeBoer.
And really,
yeah.
Is there a better place to be and better company you could possibly have? I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all. Probably not.
Hi, I'm Corin Nimick. Since you've already got Parker Lewis Can't Lose on DVD, here's what's coming out this week.
Ooh, mixing it all up. What's out today, sir?
Jack Irish, Season 2.
What I Like About You, the complete third season.
You hold me tight. We've got the 100. In fact, they've been de-escalated, I guess, to season 5.
Classic TV on DVD, MST3K, Volume 8. None of the new episodes. All the old stuff.
Yeah. Must be anime based on title alone, Isle. We've got Regalia, the Three Sacred Stars.
Gatchaman Crowds, the complete collection.
It sounds like Pokemon, but you're doing it with people, so it's like kidnapping the anime. I don't know.
Well, I could...
From our collection section, we've got Meg a Shark. That's right, MEG-A. I think they're trying to capitalize. It's an 8-film collection, so you've probably already seen them on Sci-Fi Channel.
In our re-release department, Lucio Fulci's Zombie.
We've got David Byrne's True Stories. That should be interesting.
Good, weird movie, man. Death Rides a Horse, starring Lee Van Cleef.
That's a classic. From a regular theatrically released movie section, we've got Never Steady, Never Still.
The Little Stranger. He's this big.
Is it The Little Stranger That Could?
Not this time. That's the sequel.
Ah, High Voltage.
Searching, which I thought was that show on HBO, but that was different. Oh, no, this is the alien movie. Yeah. But when a doctor is looking for her missing child and awakes to find herself in an abandoned school, she must survive the supernatural terror and face her own demons if she is to find the truth about where her son is. Megan Drury and Will McDonald get a lesson in evil at the school.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, Star Wars. The overall future of the movies is sort of up in the air because Solo didn't make as much money as Last Jedi.
But it wasn't terrible and had some genuinely cool parts if you're like a hardcore fan like me.
Everything I wanted in a Han Solo film. Lucasfilm seems more than intent on it currently being in production with The Mandalorian for TV. So further films at this point on the, you know, spinoff thing, maybe who knows what's happening. Which is why UK Foreign Secretary and former London Mayor Boris Johnson at a DUP conference over the weekend said something that made everyone stop and go, what?
Don't tell me they made Snoke Jar Jar.
According to Johnson, George Lucas is making an Obi-Wan Kenobi movie that was shot in Northern Ireland sometime in 2019. And if that sounds unbelievable, yeah, because maybe he's unaware that Lucas is no longer involved in the franchise, and we had some rumors about a Stephen Daldry directing an Obi-Wan film in Belfast, and that got shot down as well.
Oh, you scared me for a minute. Please, just no more of the bearded one touching Star Wars.
And just in case you thought that, well, maybe this... could be true. Another silly rumor is up at Drunken Chicken TV, which I have to check out, and indicates that Natalie Portman may be returning to reprise her role as Padme for a cameo in Episode 9. It indicates she will not have any dialogue and will just be standing there next to Kylo Ren in scenes connecting the final installment with the prequel trilogy, which just shouldn't happen.
Okay, yeah. First of all, she was not Force sensitive, so she wouldn't be a Force ghost, so there'd be no reason for there to be an actual ghost or anything like that. Now, just in case they're still going to cast her, but she's not unavailable, Keira Knightley is probably available. That's a full circle joke right there. Think about it.
Star Wars Episode 9 is currently slated to open December of next year. The untitled Obi-Wan? Who knows?
Should we be worried?
Why? It's not like Lucas ever made a bad movie with a young Obi-Wan.
That's only true from a certain point of view.
Oof, that's a bomb bad.
NASA's first test of the unpiloted SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket and Crew Dragon spacecraft is targeted for January 7th. The launch, called Demo 1, is scheduled for 11:57 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
Unpiloted? How do I know where it's going? Is it robots?
Well, as part of the Commercial Crew Program, this trial marks a milestone in NASA's quest to once again deliver astronauts to the cosmos. For the first time, the space shuttle was retired in 2011.
No, seriously. Is it robots?
Well, the agency will keep a close eye on performance, collecting data from the SpaceX rocket, Crew Dragon, and ground system and docking operations.
Wait. Is it robots or dragons?
Well, assuming all goes well, a second test, Demo 2, will fly astronauts Robert Behnken and Douglas Hurley to the International Space Station in June.
Without their helmet, they will find that rather difficult. They'll have to hold their breath.
A similar timeline is in place for Boeing, an uncrewed orbital test flight in March and a crewed flight test in August.
Will they have unicorns piloting their ships?
However, the administration reminds us that, as with all human spaceflight development, learning from each test and adjusting as necessary to reduce risk to the crew may override planning dates. There's also that small issue of NASA's month-long review of Boeing and SpaceX's workplace safety culture, expected to begin next year, which could hamper early trials.
Leprechauns are surprisingly fragile.
Once crewed test flights are successfully completed, NASA will certify the spacecraft and systems for regular missions to the ISS. The agency has contracted 6 missions with as many as 4 astronauts each per company.
And you can be one of those folks if you win the new reality show, Is You Ready to Rocket?
A first operational mission is anticipated for August 2019, followed by a second in December.
The exploding rockets will be randomly put into play. Good luck, everyone! Now back to the wacky rumors.
Look, I did 2 chabbies last week, so, you know, you can do a fake Radio Daily if you want to, man.
A Chinese researcher claims that he helped make the world's first genetically edited babies, twin girls whose DNA he said he altered to try to help them resist possible future infection with the AIDS virus.
I want to believe, man.
There is no independent confirmation of the claim by researcher He Zhanhua of Shenzhen. He revealed it in Hong Kong to one of the organizers of an international conference on gene editing that begins in a few hours.
Ah, so it's like those reports of the head transplant a year ago, huh?
Kinda, but if these reports are true, it would be a profound leap of science and ethics. This kind of work is banned in the United States because the DNA changes can pass to future generations and it risks harming other genes.
And it could lead to us editing our DNA to be superheroes.
Some mainstream scientists denounce the Chinese report as human experimentation.
We could be heroes just for one day.
Researchers said yes.
For science!
Now in news that both scares me and makes me hungry, Kraft Foods has done what many thought impossible and invented edible slime, meaning grandma's Jell-O salad will never be the same.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
A team of foodologists hidden away in secret Kraft food laboratories asked a question no one has ever asked before. What if slime was edible?
No one asked, can we make Jell-O building blocks to reduce fires and make everything like a big beanbag chair?
No one is saying that slime has never been ingested before. Countless children have sampled their gooey play toy out of curiosity or because of the dreaded triple dog dare. But Jell-O's new DIY slime, a part of its recent play line, is completely edible without the risk of going blind, glowing, or needing your stomach pumped after snacking.
Slimer must be so nervous right now.
Whipping up a batch is as easy as just adding water to an included mix and stirring for 30 seconds, at which point you'll be left with a brightly colored, non-physics-based fluid that you can squish, squeeze, massage, and tear with your hands for about an hour before you'll need to add more water to keep it fluid. There will be 2 flavors available at launch: unicorn, pink strawberry, and monster-themed, green lime. But there's no word on how much each container will cost when they hit stores next month. So what's in the slime? According to the listing on Amazon, it contains modified food starch, sugar, gelatin, contains less than 2% of adipic acid, disodium phosphate, sodium citrate, artificial flavor, fumaric acid, red number 40. Nothing we haven't seen in other highly processed snacks before.
Wait, so no actual monster or unicorn chunks included? Because after Legends of Tomorrow, I really want to try unicorn meat.
That unicorn was terrifying. But that might be disappointing for many people. But those people have obviously forgotten how to have fun with their food.
Do you think this will lead to a new version of You Can't Do That on Television?
I don't know. Om nom 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 nom. acting. Thank you.
And now in Wasn't That a Harlan Ellison Novel news, Duke University researchers are developing an artificial robot nose that could replace drug-sniffing dogs.
Ha, so you were talking about robots earlier. I knew we'd have a robot story.
The prototype is based on odor receptors grown from the genes of mice.
Oh, so that's what we're going to do today. Nuff.
The idea of an artificial nose has been present for a long time, according to senior study author Hiroki Matsunami, a professor of molecular genetics and microbiology at the Duke School of Medicine. This year alone, scientists in the U.S. and Spain have created electronic honkers that pinpoint rotten food and colon diseases, respectively. That's a big difference, though, between testing things in a lab dish versus, you know, an actual schnoz.
Man, I love when stories are brought to us by the Borscht Belt. Yeah.
Existing e-noses detect smells using various chemical compounds instead of receptor stem cells. Those devices, however, are, quote, not as good as a trained dog.
Oh, they should have sampled Milton Berle's proboscis.
Hey, we are a family Oh, his nose. Okay, gotcha. The idea is that by using the actual living receptors, maybe we can develop a device similar to animals, Matsunami continued. Nobody has achieved that yet, but the study is moving toward that goal. While ever-wasteful humans use only about 2% of our genes to make odor receptors, mice invest more, like 5% of their genes, for this very purpose. Mice and rats are very good smellers, Matsunami explained. We just don't use mice for detecting explosives in real life. There are some practical problems to do that.
Man, I am so picturing a Darren Aronofsky, Tom and Jerry right now. Yeah, so weird.
Accounting for the fact that humans inhale airborne scents through noses full of mucus, the team attempted to mimic our snouts by exposing odorants to two odor vapors and a few enzymes. Researchers plan to fine-tune their device to test all receptors against many different smells. With work, they believe one day the nose will know. GRT is licensed under the Creative Commons Attributions, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 licensing. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, some of the website at geekradiodaily.com. Make sure you check out The Cinemistress. She went to see the movie that everybody wanted to see that suddenly took Jeff Bridges out of their trailers and only put in that Hemsworth guy, I guess because people like him or something. What the hell's that thing called? Bad Times at Ed Royale with cheese. That's what it is.
Well, we've got the Ed Royale with cheese. There's a Halloween episode. The Ed Royale was from like a week ago. But we've also got the El Royale and we got Halloween. And then the, dang it.
Just go find it. Thing. Yeah. Drop a note to at podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Tell us you saw it. Read your own review by dialing the number of
510-GRT.
I was picturing the brain with a screwdriver to drill to pinky, like Aronofsky, totally weird.
Good night, suckers.
Thank you for coming. I asked you here because we lost another Quadrant member last night. See, I don't mind partners when they're loyal. Turns out Miss Casamento wasn't. So what I have to decide right now is whether you two fall into that same category.
You wanted in the Quadrant. You're in. This doesn't have to be adversarial.
See, that's the thing. Me wanting in. I always thought that I wanted that. And I realized it's just not enough.
You don't want a partnership. You want a controlling stake.
Guilty. Let's try this again. Yeah?